Amen. Tonight I do have a text that I want to look at this evening, and it's verse 20 in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, these words of the Lord Jesus are words of caution that were given to the 70 disciples after a very successful time of ministry. And they were elated. They were absolutely rejoicing that not only did they have the opportunity to preach, but to heal, and they saw the devil put to flight and demons cast out. And we can only imagine the events, the drama, the excitement that this brought as they went from village to village, 70 going two by two as they went out and ministered the gospel. Now, this expansion of ministry takes us away back to chapter 9, verse 1. And I want you to go back there with me and notice how at this point in the Lord's ministry, he was sending out his disciples, as many as he could find. Well, firstly, his own 12. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And now they were not just students anymore. They had to go out and actually preach and carry out this ministry. In verse 6 of chapter 9, we see them out in the various communities, towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is phenomenal. It's not just the Lord Jesus now. These are the disciples. And what power they are invested with, and what a ministry they are given. Now, when you get to chapter 10, verse 1, which we read, it wasn't enough to have 12 disciples going about preaching, healing, and casting out demons. The Lord Jesus now, he commissioned other 70 also. And it was that word also that made me go back to chapter 9, verse 1. The 12 were already out ministering, healing, casting out demons, and these 70 are also gathered together, and again they are commissioned. Now you'll notice what they're to do. In chapter 10, 1, they were to go out in a spearhead ministry ahead of the Lord Jesus, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now, talk about organization. For these men to carry out this mandate, they must have had some plan. There must have been some list of cities. Lord, where exactly do you want me to go? What are the boundaries of our mandate to serve? What cities do you intend to visit that we may do this for you ahead of time as a spearhead ministry? And so out they went. Now, this ministry that they were given was invested with authority and power, and each village would be accountable on the judgment day for the ministry of the gospel to them. And the passage that we read together here, where these disciples going out, and you'll notice verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. And if they reject you, if they have no interest in your message, you're to wipe the dust of your feet and pronounce God's judgment, that one day they will give account for despising and rejecting the message of the gospel. And so they went. And what an amazing ministry they had. Went out two by two into these various villages. They healed. They saw young people and others with the demons cast out. Can you think of the praise of parents? Can you think of the thank yous They're children that were tormented for a lifetime, for all their years. They're now set free from the slavery and the possession of demons. They've got a new future, a new life. And these men are heralded as ministers of the Lord with great, great success and with power. No doubt when they returned to the Lord Jesus in verse 17 of chapter 10, that when they returned to the Lord, that they were rejoicing. Rejoicing in the healings, and that the devils were subject unto them. Now notice how the Lord responded in verse 18. Notice that what they thought they were bringing to him, some set of new details, up-to-date news on their ministry. And the Lord in verse 18 virtually said, I know. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now some interpret this, that this is a way back at the beginning of time when Satan fell out of heaven itself at the very first time that he ever sinned, and God cast Satan out of heaven. But I think there's room for much more an up-to-date reference here. That the Lord was referring to, he knew that as these men went out in his name and preached the gospel, healing and casting out demons, that he saw the Satan flee and his power broken. The Lord knew, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then, this is not the end of the story. The Lord says, now, you've done a great work. And I've seen Satan flee even before you. And then he commissioned them again, and he said to them, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In other words, your ministry is not over. You have more to do and more mighty and amazing things to demonstrate. But in verse 20, he cautions them. He puts the brakes on. And he said, you have seen tremendous things, and you are going to do even more works. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Rejoice not in that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, I jumped ahead of myself a little bit to verse 21 because we have to link these two verses up. You'll notice that while the Lord said to these 70 disciples, hold on now, don't get overexcited. You're rejoicing in the wrong thing. You'll notice that the Lord Jesus in that hour rejoiced in spirit. And it would seem that he was pouring cold water on the excitement of the disciples, but he himself was filled with rejoicing. And by the way, this is the only time in the Gospels that you read about the Lord Jesus rejoicing in spirit. Three times you will read of him weeping at Lazarus' tomb, in Gethsemane, and weeping over the city of Jerusalem. But only once do we read of him rejoicing in spirit. And this is it. And so he's pouring cold water on the excitement of the disciples about the power of their ministry, while he himself is rejoicing in spirit over what? That people's names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he goes on in verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto Babe. Now, who are the wise and prudent? The wise and prudent would be the Pharisees, the scribes, the learned doctors, and those who had great opportunity to know God. But these things have been hidden from them. Babes, well, they are the fishermen of this world. The unlettered, the unlearned, the poor, the outcast, despised, tax collectors. And this is the great mystery of the gospel. The gospel is a revealed religion. It's revealed to men. It's not something that you just pick up on your own. It's not something that we can send somebody, will you just go and learn that? The fact that you're a Christian tonight is the fact that God has bestowed great grace and great mercy upon your heart and upon your soul. I want you to think tonight with me on the meaning of having your name written in heaven. That's the thing to rejoice in, Jesus said. That's the thing that you are to glory in. Well, this name written in heaven, it means citizenship in heaven. This language comes from the register that was for every city and town in the land when the civil magistrate would have a book and everyone residing in the city had their name recorded. This person was born there, this person lives here, there is an address, there is a history, a record that they belong to this city. Their name is written there. And so when the Lord Jesus is speaking in this language, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. It means that you have citizenship there. That's where you belong. You have a place there. You have a reservation in heaven. It means a revelation of gospel light from the Father. And this is why Jesus says, I thank God that he has hidden these things from the wise and prudent, but shown them unto babes. And if your name is written in heaven, if you're a citizen of heaven, what a great privilege that these things have been revealed to you and have been made known to your heart. It's also sovereign election. Because if you look at the end of verse 21, you will see that the Lord Jesus, as he rejoiced in spirit and in his innermost being was bubbling over with this truth that God the Father had a people, he hid it from some, and he revealed this to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, there is no explanation given for sovereign election. There is no looking into some binoculars and looking down into the very field of eternity and saying, no, there's the reason. Now I see why God chose me. No, for so it seemed good in the Father's sight. And Jesus rejoiced in that. He didn't question it. The Lord Jesus accepted the sovereign purpose, the election of the Father, to reveal the gospel to some. And every Christian should rejoice in it too. It should rejoice your heart tonight that the God of heaven has a plan of salvation for his people. And he reveals this to them. Why? Because it seemed good in his sight. And it's good for God. It's good for souls. And it's good for us tonight. Now, it has to be election, because this writing of your name in heaven, when did it take place? Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 8 tonight. Let's find the answer right here, that this writing, this entry of your name, if you're a Christian tonight, the entry of your name into the book of life took place. Well, let's read the verse and you can find it here. Revelation 17 and verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. I want you to keep a Bible marker at that text. I want you to keep it accessible, because we're going to come back to that in a little while. So the first thing we learn here is that names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It wasn't after you were born. It wasn't after you did certain things that God says, yeah, I'll elect him, I'll choose him or her. No, it was before we were even born. It was before the world was even created. Now, if you go back to Revelation 13, verse 8, you find that this book of life of the Lamb, that there's a record here again from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, 8. and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life. Now, we'll get to that later, what that worship is. It's the worship of Satan. It's the worship of Antichrist. And those who do not have their names written in the Lamb's book, they worship Satan. They are blind. They do not worship Christ. But you'll notice the reference there in the book of life of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Now, did that literally, historically happen? That Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who became man, that before the world was founded, before the world was created, did Jesus really die in history past, eternity past? No, but the plan was in the mind of God. Calvary was planned before the world began. When God appointed his Son to be the Redeemer of his people, and in that covenant of redemption, that the Father would send the Son, and the Son would purchase a people with his own blood, that plan was decreed and determined in the mind of God in eternity past. And just as God appointed his Son and called him the slain Lamb, from before the foundation of the world, your name as a Christian was written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Now that's something to rejoice in. That's something that should really get your soul excited. That's even more wonderful than if you had some gift or power to put out the devil. Jesus said, "Rejoice not that the devils are subject to you, but rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven." Now, in Revelation 13, 7 and 8, you see that these very enemies here, they worship Satan. Isn't it a wonderful thing we're here tonight in a Christian church with our open Bible? We're not following the darkness of this world. We're not left to the blindness of Satan and all his wicked ways. But we're here tonight rejoicing in the Lord Jesus with all our hearts. Now, I want now to, that's the meaning of having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want us to deal with some of the benefits of having your name written in heaven. Well, you have a full title to heaven. You have a passport to heaven because your name is written there. And you have free access to enter through the very gates of the New Jerusalem. If you read with me in Revelation 21 and verse 21, this wonderful city, this city four square, and you have this amazing place that God has prepared for his people, Revelation 21 and verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. What a benefit to have your name written in heaven. It's recorded there in the Lamb's book of life, and they are the only people that will have access and entrance into the glorious city through those gates of the New Jerusalem. What a benefit. That's something to rejoice in. That's something to shout hallelujah about. My poor little name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Peter tells us that we have an inheritance, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. No one can take that place No one can sit in your seat in glory. It's reserved just for you. In Hebrews 12, we are told of those that are in heaven that they are souls made perfect. The just made perfect with God. What a benefit, what a blessing to have your name written in heaven. And it can't be blot out. If you go back to Revelation 3:5, you have the church there, and there is a promise given to them. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. You see, in an earthly city, in a city with a civil magistrate, if you misbehaved as a citizen, you could have your name blotted out. If you didn't pay your taxes, if you became a criminal, if you became rebellious, you could have your name blotted out and you could be cast out as a stranger. You no longer belong to that city. You no longer have a right to return and expect the privileges and the benefits of being a resident in that city. Your name has been blotted out. But the Lord says in his word to Christians, to those that overcome through Christ, that I will not blot out your name. Now, some people have tried to interpret that as if it's possible for people to have their name blotted out. But the comparison is between the heavenly city and the earthly city. In an earthly city, you can have your name blotted out. Just don't pay your taxes for a while, and you could lose your home. You break the law, and you'll end up that you do not have the right of a citizen. But if you're in heaven, made perfect, made just, your name will never be blotted out of that Lamb's book of life. Rather, the Lord will confess our name before the Father. That's what the promise is in Revelation 3, verse 5. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So that's a wonderful thing, wonderful benefit, and a wonderful blessing. Third thing, the eternal loss of not having your name written in heaven. All these religious powers are temporary. What these 70 disciples were exercising, healing, casting out devils, doing many things in Jesus' name, they are temporary gifts. They wouldn't last. They were just for a little while. And they certainly weren't the normal practice even of the early church. Titus never did these things. Timothy never did these things. Epaphroditus and all the other helpers of the Apostle Paul, we never read of them doing these things. These were unique, special gifts prior to the cross, after Pentecost. But once the church was established, the church went back to a ministry of the word and of prayer. These were temporary gifts. Tongues would cease. Extra revelations would cease. Because we have the Bible, the word of God. And that's why the Lord was saying to them, rejoice not over these things because they are but temporary. And we have to rejoice tonight that we have something far more enduring, something far more valuable than some gifts of healing or exorcism or any other spiritual claim to temporary benefits. Now, the fate of all who have not their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, what do we learn there in Revelation 13, verse 7 and 8? Well, we learn that they worship the beast. That's the tragedy of those who don't have their names written in the Lamb's book. We're told there in Revelation 13, 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. They're going to be deceived. They're going to be carried away with false worship whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Over in chapter 17 and verse 8, that verse I mentioned earlier. It says there, the beast that thou sawest and was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. They shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And so those who are left to sin, left to their own rebellion, to their own blindness, they end up worshiping Antichrist, deceived, looking upon him as something wonderful, something to be wondered at and worshiped. But it's false, it's spurious, and it takes men away from truly looking on to the Savior who saves men. And they will follow Satan all the way to hell. You look at Revelation 20, verse 10. You will notice the great deception here. Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Here is that he's the one that deceived them and was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And he goes on to talk about the great white throne. Verse 21, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And then down to verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so they follow Satan all the way to hell. Their names are not written in heaven. They're not in the book of life. And so they are prey to the devil's deception. And they follow him all the way to hell. What a loss! What a loss. All the more reason for you and I tonight to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Some temporary power or experience does not match up to the benefit and the blessing of having your name written in heaven. Now I want to come lastly tonight to the assurance that your name is written in heaven. How can you possibly know with full assurance that your name is written in that book of life? Now that is the all-important question to every one of us in this meeting tonight. It would be false for you to sing and rejoice with Christians if you don't even know that your name is written there, if you have no such assurance. And so we need to look at this tonight, and we need to wrestle with this matter. If the Lord Jesus said to these 70 that were able to do many things in Jesus' name, and you remember the warning of the Lord in Matthew 7? Many will say, did we not do many miracles in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me, accursed, I never knew you. Oh yes, you did these works, but your name was not written in heaven. So we come to look at this matter. Let's go back to Luke 10 in this passage where the Lord Jesus said these things to these 70. Let's look at verse 22. He said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. How do you know if your name is written in heaven? If the Lord Jesus has revealed the Father to you. I want to read that last part of verse 22 again. And he, that is the person to whom the Son will reveal the Father. You see, Christianity is a revelation. It's not math. It's not experimental science. It's the Word of God that opens the mind and heart of the soul and leads men and women to the knowledge of the Father. Now, are you that person tonight? Are you that one to whom the Lord Jesus has revealed the Father? The Lord Jesus is the express image of the Father. He is the Father's Word. That's why in John 1 he's called the Word. He came to reveal to men the knowledge of the Father. And of course, it's the Lord Jesus who invites you to be saved, and he invites you to come with your burden of sin and with your guilt and to trust in him. Now, if you do a little parallel with Matthew's gospel and how the Lord Jesus concluded this account in Matthew 11, you will find that there's a great gospel invitation in this passage. Matthew 11, verse 27, the exact same text as we've been looking at in Luke 10, 22. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he or the person to whom the Son will reveal him. And then you'll notice the gospel invitation that follows. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do you know if your name is written in heaven? Well, if you've answered the gospel invitation to come. Come, accept the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. Bring your sins, bring all your iniquities and all your burden of guilt, and cast them upon the Lord Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And of course, it's an invitation to anyone that will come. And if you will come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then your name is written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life, because Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's this very text we have right here. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb, and he's the person that you must come to if you would know that your name is written in heaven. And there's another wonderful fact that Isaiah mentions, where God says that he will never forget us because our names are written in the palms of the Savior's hands. Your name written in the palms of the Savior's hands. What is the Lord Jesus doing tonight? He's no longer on the cross. He's in heaven at the Father's right hand. He's pleading and interceding for his people. And when he looks at the palms of his hands, and isn't it remarkable to this day with all our technology, with all our smartphones and organizers that we have, when you want to remember something, you just write something in the palm of your hand. That'll remind you, because you won't wash it off that quickly. It'll be there for a day or so, and it'll remind you. But that your names are engraven in the palms of the Savior's hand, written in his hands, presented before the Father. What a blessing. What an assurance. If you have Christ as your Savior, that you're saved, that you have eternal life, that you have peace with God, and you have citizenship in heaven, because you have come, obeyed the gospel invitation, accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Have you done that? I'm not asking you, have you accepted the church or religion or general Christianity? I'm asking you, have you asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, to save your soul, and to take away the burden of your sin? And if you've done that, you can be sure that your name is written there. But if you have never done that, you're blind, you're lost, you're on the broad road, you're in danger of worshiping the Antichrist, the system of this world, and missing the greatest of all benefits of being saved and sure of heaven. If you're not a Christian tonight, if you're not saved, I invite you to come, to believe, to trust the Lord as your Savior, that you may truly be saved by grace. If I can help you after this meeting, I'll gladly do that, spend time with you, show you from the Bible how you can be sure you're saved on the authority of the Bible. That's how we must believe and trust for eternal life. Come to Jesus, and you will live.